Blog Talk Radio.
I tell you,
there's a lady. There's a lady in the men's bathroom. Look at that. There is a woman in the men's gym right here in Baltimore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pro Wrestling Flashback. It is the end of November, November the 30th. Thanksgiving was last week, and I am Sinbad, and I'm joined by Katrare. How you doing, Katrare?
I'm doing fine. Long time no talk.
Yeah, it's been a while. I want to apologize to everybody. I missed a show last week at a death in the family, and really wasn't, you know, in the right mind to do a show, so I apologize to everybody. But we are back this week, and we are ready to go. Katrare, you got a cold, right?
Yeah, I was getting a cold. We've finally gotten the cold weather started showing up, so naturally I'm going to be getting sick. So
That sucks. All right, let's jump right in. All right, we went past Sold Out, and we covered that first Nitro, but now we're at the second Nitro past Sold Out. And there's the big story out of this show is Roddy Piper coming out with his son. And the story with that was, he's kind of saying he doesn't want to wrestle anymore. And, you know, he doesn't need this because he's been getting attacked over and over and over. And he didn't need it anymore. So, you know, he's out there with his son telling his son, like, hey, I'm not going to wrestle anymore. And then Hogan comes out, right?
Yeah, Hogan comes out and basically kind of just browbeating him in front of his kid, and his Piper's saying, you know, Terry, please, I'm here with my son, I just want to go. You know, he called him Terry because, you know, he's a shoot brother. So
yes, it's a so shoot brother.
Let's call him Terry. And I can't remember what he said, but then he gets his son out of the ring, and you know, Piper and Hogan and Bischoff are just like laughing it up. They got their backs turned, and then Piper whips off his leather jacket, and the fucking crowd goes crazy, and he goes after Hogan. I think he goes after his eye or something like that. And so they signed the big rematch for Super Brawl from Starrcade. I guess Piper was smarter enough to get a title match this time, and unlike the first time. So
yeah, it was such a, like a, such a great interview. Like, I loved the way he put him in the corner, you know, and like pretty much said, you know, he told the son, you know, hey, go sit in the corner because he's going to talk to these guys, you know. And I remember thinking, you know, it was like this huge deal, you know, it was this huge deal that they made it seem real. They made it seem real. And they're already doing this really odd thing with Randy Anderson, the fallout of the pay-per-view. Randy Anderson was a referee in WCW, and he had counted the pinfall win for the Steiners to win the tag titles that Sold Out. And so Eric Bischoff fired him. And this whole thing's going on while, I mean, like in very, very... like a very real thing is going on. Randy Anderson actually has testicular cancer at this point in time.
I think he was in remission at this time.
Yeah, well, he had just survived it. He went through like 25 rounds of chemo he was in remission right then. But like, I mean, he just went through a lot, and he's like going through the storyline of, you know, being fired, they drag his kids out, and, you know, Bischoff makes fun of his kids. And they're trying to go for this realism. And another thing also on the same show, while we're jumping into all these big things, because there are these big things, is this show on the 10th, where the Steiners are showed driving, okay? And, or actually, it's just Six with a video camera. Six has this video camera because he films everything, you know?
Yeah.
And so they show them, like, you know, messing with the Steiners on the road. And they actually run the Steiners off the road. So the Steiners crash into this ditch, you know? And the thing I remember, because, like, thanks to PCN Thomas from the board and also my friend from life, he sent me all the observers. He actually gave me a disc a long time ago and of these old observers. And I was reading them, and there were so many complaints about this that they actually, like, stopped talking about the car accident. And they eventually just, like, took the video off TV, and it was just
I don't know why they'd be complaining about it. I mean, was it too real? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a storyline. Big deal.
Yes. I mean, this was back in 1997.
I didn't like the Randy Anderson stuff. That was kind of uncomfortable. The dude
It was very uncomfortable.
And he ended up passing away. You ever notice how referees in WCW had bad luck? He had Randy Anderson. He had
Mark Curtis.
Brady Bone died in a car wreck.
Brady Bone,
thought that car wreck thing was so bad.
I think that's maybe what it was. I mean, it was just in poor taste. But in good taste, really fast, I must go ahead and plug our host's website, superfriendsuniverse.com. Check us out there. All of our archives are there. Also, they have other great shows. So check those out. Check all that stuff out at superfriendsuniverse.com. All right, so February 10th.
Well, Brady Bone died in 1998, so that's not going to have nothing to do with that car thing.
Okay, but what had it been, two or three years since Joey Morella died in a car accident? I mean, a lot of people die in car accidents, and it's a very real thing that, like, you really shouldn't, you know, joke about. So,
yeah,
I
guess so. I mean, I don't know. It's not that big of a deal to me. I don't.
Yeah, so we had already gone through the matches on this February 10th. Nitro last week, but just real fast, I'll run through them again. Dean Malenko beat Eddie Guerrero by countout because Six distracted him. Giant beat Ron Powers. The Steiners beat High Voltage. Hall and Nash beat The Extreme, who it was The Extreme once again was kind of a knock on both ECW and a knock on WWF because they were billed from being from Stamford, Connecticut, which is ha ha ha.
This
you
is
know,
like the second week in a row they beat him, right?
Yes. Rey Mysterio wrestled Lord Regal to time on the draw, and this match is actually only like 6 minutes, and they claim it was 10. So, you know, apparently no one keeps time on these matches. But Maverick Wild was destroyed by Kevin Sullivan. Hugh Morris beat Alex Wright. And
is
that
the one where Jackie beat the shit out of him? During that Kevin Sullivan match. That was awesome.
Yes, that was awesome. And Benoit and Nick Michael beat Jeff Jarrett and Chavo, and that's what Jeff Jarrett was trying to get these partners to help him against the horse that he was also trying to join. So, yes, if everybody got all of that. All right. We have the next week, Nitro. Mongo beats Hugh Morris. And it's the first time that, like, Mongo's taken, like, seriously in a match. And, like, he ended up winning with they hit Hugh Morris in the back with Halliburton. And it was the first time Mongo actually looked decent in the match that I remember. Public Enemy beat the Quebecers, which I kind of want to touch on this real fast. The Quebecers really didn't get any sort of a push in WCW, and they were still awesome.
The only really thing they did with them was like a year with Harlem Heat when they had the Colonel with them in the French Ford and Legion outfit.
Yeah, which was great. I mean, it was a great, you know, like for comedy, you know, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then we had Prince Iaukea, who I'm sure you guys have never heard us say that before because he had just debuted, beat Lord Regal for the TV title with a crucifix because Rey Mysterio distracted Regal. All right, Prince Iaukea was a Dean Malenko student who had just debuted in WCW, and he's an ethnic kid who, you know, was just a jobber pretty much. And right before this in the WWF, The Rock was his name was Rocky Maivia at the time, had beat Triple H for the Intercontinental title in like a little upset. And, you know, like as bad as that run was with Rocky Maivia having the IC title, it got a huge pop when he won the title.
I think it was actually the week before this on Raw when he won the title, week before this match.
Yes, I believe it was the Thursday Raw.
The Thursday Raw where Shawn lost his smile.
Yes, I think it's the same show.
Yeah.
Yes, well, Prince Iaukea also got a pretty big pop, and
I think he was...
It ended up being...
I think he was, like, I think he was friends with Kevin Sullivan, maybe from Florida or something like that. Maybe that's why he got this push.
Who?
Prince Iaukea.
Prince Iaukea was really young. I didn't even know he knew Kevin Sullivan.
Well, he might have been the son of somebody.
Possibly.
This isn't,
I think
this isn't Kane Curtis Iaukea's son, is it?
No. I think that's why he was given the name Iaukea, though. I'm pretty sure Kevin Sullivan gave him that name because Prince Iaukea, which King Curtis Iaukea, I'm almost positive that's probably why he got the name. But I highly doubt they were any relation because he has like a really, you know, white sounding name, like, you know,
yeah,
shoot name.
In fact, he was also in the big Ball Brawl 95 when who was it? It was Sergeant Craig Pittman sent the private out to distract the Cobra, and Prince Iaukea
was
the private, I believe.
Yes, great. It's great stuff. Love that. Randy Anderson beat Nick Patrick. And the thing was, if Randy Anderson beat Nick Patrick, he would be able to get his job back. Well, the thing was, there's another referee. It might have been like maybe Mickey J or someone like that gave Randy Anderson some brass knuckles or something to hit Nick Patrick with. And so one of the referees helped this referee cheat to beat another referee. I know it was a wacky scenario, but it was pretty cool. I mean, like, it was good TV. I mean, it wasn't like a 5-star classic match or anything, but it was moving along the storyline. Benoit destroys Roadblock. Kevin Sullivan and Jacqueline beat Doc Dean. Eddie Guerrero beat Conan by DQ because Ming the Barbarian come out and they attack him. And then Jericho comes to make the save, and then Guerrero and Jericho shake hands. So baby faces, you know, clean house. And then the Giant beat Top Gun and Johnny Swinger. Top Gun was from Calgary. What was his name in Calgary? The Cuban Assassin? Are you still there, Couture? No, apparently he's not. All right, well, yeah, that's what his name was. He was a Cuban assassin in Calgary. And a little-known fact, it's probably a wide-known fact now. He was actually going to be in, it was Bret Hart's book, he was supposed to be brought into WWF. And he used to be really good friends with Bad News Brown, or Bad News Allen. And apparently Bad News Allen and Cuban Assassin's wife had some sort of falling out. So when Cuban Assassin finally got his break to go to the WWF, Bad News Allen actually, tried going after him, and they got in a fight. And so, you know, before he even had a chance to be in the WWF, he was gone because of Bad News Brown.
Back.
So, I was talking about Top Gun, who was just defeated by the Giant. Like the Giant beat Top Gun.
I don't think that was the same Cuban assassin. Because there were two different ones. Cuban assassin was. I know there was David Sierra. That's the one that we probably know from WCW. The one that was with Elegante, like in '91, as his translator.
I'm talking about the Cuban assassin that was from Calgary that became Top Gun in WCW.
Was it? Because I thought Top Gun was David Sierra, just under a different name. Shit, I don't know.
Oh, I could be very wrong. I could be very. I thought they were one and the same, but you know, I'm possibly. Very
I was just
wrong.
Reading the Bad News Allen bio. I was just reading the Bad News Allen bio from the Observer the other day with that story you were talking about.
Oh, really?
I think the two wives of the Bad News and Human Assassin got into it, and Bad News' wife got stabbed or something. And
yeah, it was a pretty fucked up situation.
Yeah, and then when he came in WWF, they got in a big fight or something like that, and yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I just told that story. All right, and then Jericho beat Jeff Jarrett. So we have there's these vignettes that are playing during these last two Nitros of Piper trying to get himself ready. Okay, he's getting himself ready for. Super Brawl. And Super Brawl is in San Francisco. And, like, when he had his son out there, he made this comment to Hogan saying that Hogan's surely going to fit in San Francisco, which is, like, essentially saying that Hogan is gay. But that's also knocking all the people that live in San Francisco, and he's supposed to be the babyface.
Yeah.
So in order to get himself ready for the show, he sends himself to Alcatraz, okay? So they shoot this, like, video of Piper fucking freaking out in Alcatraz, and, you know, supposedly didn't he say he swam to get to Super Brawl?
Yeah, and I remember when the Super Brawl pay-per-view started, it was, like, he, wasn't he on a boat headed back, like, across, to San Francisco, going back for the match or something. He hadn't, like, he showed up for the match and, like, he hadn't, still had his nasty ass clothes on that he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Then the Nitro before the show, or the Nitro before the pay per view, is the Barbarian Ming beats High Voltage, La Parca beats Mark Starr, Jericho beats Bunkhouse Buck, Jim Powers and Bobby Walker, who are this like up-and-coming team managed by Teddy Long, and they're just jobbers. But they beat Doc Dean and Robbie Brookside, and those are two guys that are brought in by Regal, like to get like sort of a tryout with WCW. I'm pretty sure this is the last time we even see these guys there, which is pretty sad that, you know. Hugh Morris beats Top Gun.
That is David Sierra, by the way, because I'm on the Cuban. I'm on David Sierra's official website, and it says he portrayed Top Gun.
Okay, I was wrong then, everybody. I'm sorry. Sorry that I confused them. And then Scotty Riggs beat Super Colo. And then Eddie Guerrero beat Lasertron, who was actually just his brother Hector Guerrero under a mask. With,
yeah.
Talk
about an out-of-date outfit with the little tag.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Public Enemy beats the Quebecers with Rob Parker. And it was because of DQ, because Colonel Robert Parker, who's still around, still awesome, prevented Public Enemy from hitting the drive-by, their finishing move. All right. So let's go to the pay-per-view.
This pay-per-view
is
awesome.
Yes. Yes, it definitely was. And also in a little bit backstory, right now WCW is absolutely booming as a company in February. They their live attendance is up like 50% from the year before.
I think they've been doing like sellouts like every show.
Like every single show. And they had they finally signed right around this time. They finally signed Dennis Rodman to a contract right before this pay-per-view. They signed him to a contract because Rodman had told them that WWF offered him $500,000 to be in Goldust's corner at WrestleMania, because Goldust was like a babyface that was kind of suffering a little bit, like as a babyface, wasn't doing that great, and then tag with him at SummerSlam. So Bischoff signed him to $1 million, a $1 million deal, and to appear on a couple of Nitros and to wrestle one time. And to appear on two pay-per-views and appear on a couple of Nitros. But the cool thing about, you know, all of this is it was a big deal to get Rodman, because it'd be hard to get NBA players, because they, like, even after the season, they'd still be under contract. But his contract is a coincidence, I guess. His contract with the Chicago Bulls actually had ended. So he was a 100% free agent. So he was allowed to sign with WCW because, you know, he had no obligation to the Chicago Bulls or any NBA team. So that's why it just, you know, the stars were aligned to make this happen. And it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so we have Super Brawl. And the match is supposed to be Rey Mysterio against Lord Regal for the TV title. And, well, Prince Iaukea won title from Regal. So they actually, instead of continuing on with the Rey Mysterio feud with Regal, which I thought they would have done, they actually, well, they kind of did. They did Prince Iaukea versus Rey Mysterio Jr., and Prince Iaukea won. And
yeah, it made sense for Rey Mysterio to still get his title shot that he was supposed to, you know, he was supposed to get, so.
Yes, yes. Well, it was like he won by Regal coming out and cheating. Prince Iaukea won by Regal coming out and cheating and said he didn't want to win like that. He tried giving the belt to Rey, and Rey gave the belt back to him, and, you know, it was
a little good moment. Here, you can have my title.
Yes, I know. Yeah, it's stupid. DDP now 100% against the
EWO. You missed a couple matches.
Oh, I did. I totally did. Oh, okay. Well, the opener was 6. He beat Dean Malenko to win the title, the Cruiserweight title. And it was because Eddie Guerrero came out, and they were having a tug of war over the title. 6 and, 6 and Eddie Guerrero. Well, Eddie Guerrero let go, and 6 hit Malenko. So, so this is setting up a feud. It actually, it's so funny because it's 6 is the one that comes out smelling like roses. He has a Cruiserweight title, and now Dean Malenko is fucking pissed off at Eddie. So, you know, that's pretty cool. And then they have a 6-man match. La Parca, Conan, and Viano 4 beat Hoovy, Ciclope, and Super Colo. It was weird that Conan was still wrestling these matches.
Yeah, being in the Dungeon of Doom and everything.
Mm-hmm. All right, then after that IKEA match.
And La Parca, he was. Didn't Dave and Brian say that was his, like, brother or something that got murdered?
That's what happened?
I believe so. Gosh, I can't remember the name.
I said that was his brother. Like, that just recently was murdered?
Yeah, just like 2 days ago. His brother and a woman.
Oh, wow. I really did not know that.
Murdered outside of, I guess outside of a house or something in a car. He was shot in the neck and the head. And, they said, I think he said it was the brother of L.A. Park, who I think was the original La Parca, who was the La Parca, you know, that's in the
Triple A?
Yeah.
Yeah, L.A. Park is the original La Parca, because there's a new La Parca.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting, since La Parca was
that's very interesting. It's sad. All right, DDP beat Buff Bagwell because the whole NWO attacked him, and they were trying to go after him, but he escaped through the crowd, which is smart.
He kept escaping.
They were so good at building DDP up as a babyface.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a slow build, but it was just, it was so good. Because, I mean, he's an old man. You know what I mean? Like, he was older, and they somehow really just built him up well.
Yeah,
Eddie Guerrero beat Jericho.
It was cool because, you know, they spent all those months, nobody could get one over in the NWO, and then DDP finally did, and then they spent all this time, and nobody could get one over on DDP. So it was kind of cool that way.
Yeah, yeah. I really liked that. I really liked how they built that up. It was just awesome. All right, Eddie Guerrero and Jericho had a really good match for the U.S. title. Eddie won, and afterwards they shook hands. And Public Enemy beat Ming and Barbarian and the Harlem Heat in a triangle match. And
the
they beat every
to be
once
in
a while.
Match.
Yes,
Stunners
they were
supposed to be in this match.
But they stole the injury from them getting in that car accident, supposedly.
Yep.
Jeff Jarrett beat Mongo, and it was because Deborah tried giving the briefcase to Mongo. At least it seemed that way.
She just turned around towards the crowd, and she just threw it over her head and went right over Mongo's head. And Jeff Jarrett caught it, and Jeff Jarrett is now a horseman.
He became a horseman by beating Mongo.
Yeah.
And Benoit beat Kevin Sullivan in a death match.
That match was great. I love the finish of this match. You remember the finish?
Yeah.
When
Sullivan's
on the table. Sullivan's on the table, and Benoit's going up to leap off on the table. So Jackie lays down on top of Sullivan so he won't come off. But he decides, fuck this shit. And, you know, he just comes off, and the table doesn't even break, so they all bounce. Like right off this fucking table. And I mean, I think they all went to the, they all got stretchered out.
Yeah,
sent
them all to the hospital.
Yeah. And Arn Anderson just walked out. Arn Anderson just walked out. He's standing in the aisle looking and says, oh my God. just with his look on his face. It's pretty awesome.
Yes, because they were trying to give it like another sense of realism. It was so great. Arn Anderson is effective on any television show he's ever been on. Even this past Monday on Raw, when he's talking to Jerry Lawler, he was still effective. He looked sweet as hell in that fucking leather jacket, too. So he's awesome. Luger the Giant beat Hall and Nash for the titles because Nash gave up to the torture rack. And
Luger was not supposed to be in this match because didn't he break his hand or something? And he had a cast, so they wouldn't let him wrestle. And got awesome spot in this match when Kevin Nash powerbombed the Giant. Do you remember that?
Oh, gosh, yes. And this wasn't as bad of a powerbomb.
No, because the Giant was like, he was about 40 pounds lighter than he would be like a year later when he tried powerbombing him and it sold out and he dropped him on his neck.
I don't think it was 40 pounds. I think it might have been quite a bit more than 40 pounds.
Yeah, maybe. But, that power bomb was awesome and just really cool.
Yeah.
Giant's one of those big guys that he let people do stuff to him. Like, I remember I saw
Kurt
Angle put the perfect plex on him, like in one of those matches later in the year.
Giant was so great.
Yeah.
All right, so this main event, they built this match up as, like, the greatest cage match of all time, you know? And Icon versus Icon. Remember this?
It's not a cage match, though.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's
Halloween
Havoc later in the year.
Okay. I'll then we'll get to that. All right. This match was just Hogan versus Piper. Yeah, oh, my gosh. I can't believe I mixed that one up.
How could you forget Age in the Cage?
Yes, Age of the Cage. Yeah. All right, so Hogan beats Piper because Piper has the match won. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes out Macho Man Randy Savage, and he hands Hulk Hogan a weapon to beat Roddy Piper.
First off, Piper has Hogan in the sleeper hold. Referee checks his arms, checks it twice, three times. So he wins the match. Then Savage just, he grabs Hogan's legs and puts him outside of the ring. Now, this was stupid because when the referee is checking, wouldn't he have seen if his legs were outside of the ring?
He should have.
He should have. But no, he, but so, yeah, so he comes back and he sees that Hogan's legs are halfway out of the ring, so he orders the match continue, and then Savage gives gives Hogan an object, and he hits Piper with it and wins the match. So, and Randy Savage is the newest member of the NWO.
Yes. All right, so we have Nitro the next night. Public Enemy beat Jeff Jarrett and Mongo, who are now partners because they're both horsemen now. They still don't get along. Jim Duggan
and
beat Galaxy.
I think the end was Stephen Michael hitting the tombstone on Jeff Jarrett.
Yes. Jim Duggan beats Galaxy. Hugh Morris beats Joe Gomez. Ice Drain beats La Parca. As you can tell, not much is going on. Barbarian no. Ming beat Eddie Guerrero and Jericho. Mysterio beats Hoovy for the 9,000th time. Prince Iaukea beats Tanaka. Ultimate Dragon beats Dean Malenko by DQ. And then in the main event is DDP versus Dave Taylor. And I know that sounds horrible, but what builds from this is great. The NWO comes out, and DDP is once again finally getting the upper hand on them again. And he has been for weeks and weeks. But then Randy Savage hits the ring. Hits him in the back of the head with a spray paint can, and they just beat the shit out of DDP.
Yeah, it was finally took the newest member to get one over on DDP.
On DDP. And this is starting the DDP versus Macho Man feud. And this will prove to be, by far, the feud of the year in WCW in 1997, in my opinion.
Actually, this was not going to be the main event. The main event was going to be Harlem Heat and Luger and the Giant for the tag team championships. But they didn't have that match. Because Bischoff came out and did that stuff he did like the previous month and gave the tag titles back to the Outsiders.
Yes, they did. Yes,
which
they did.
At this point, that was a little bit too much. I mean, okay, you want to reverse a decision once, that's fine. But you do it twice, it's just, you know, I don't see the point.
Yeah, it was horrible.
And that's where they made the, they decided to do the, make the main event of Uncensored with, they were going to have like the Team WCW and Team NWO and Team WCW won, and they give all the titles, NWO gives all the titles back, and they disband or something. And if NWO wins, then they can have a title match anytime they want. And something else maybe. But I think it's like they can have a title match anytime they want. And even though they never took advantage of that, they never even did that, I don't think.
They never did.
I mean, they could I figured that, you know, they could have done, like, a Money in the Bank deal. You know, just say, okay, what was this match now?
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, so the next week we have Nitro again. It's at the Omni in Atlanta. And this is their last show here at the Omni in Atlanta ever. And this was a big building for WCW. They would advertise even like as far up to 95, wasn't it? Where they would announce these shows for the Omni, even though they had pay-per-views and stuff coming up, which are crazy, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was 95, I think it was maybe 94, 93.
Yeah. I think it was maybe like 92, 93. It was like maybe they were promoting it like on TV, like with all the matches and stuff like that they were going to have. Right? Sinbad.
my son, get away from the stove. The real white finger tiger approaches. The paint has been set. Hurry! Hurry, my son!
My father, I smell his presence also.
I feel him.
He back?
Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry about that. I completely just, like, my face ran into the thing, and I hung up on everybody. I apologize, everybody. All right, so, but what was important, though, about that last, the last show at this venue, was the night before was Disco Inferno wrestled Bobby Eaton and lost. And this was a time where Disco Inferno actually got fired after that match, I believe. I don't think I see him much after that.
No, they wanted him to do a job to Jackie, and he got fired for him to do that.
Yes, because when Disco Inferno was in Memphis, he did a storyline with Jacqueline, or Miss Texas, and he would lose to her all the time, and he didn't care, because it wasn't national TV. But he felt his contract was about to come up, and they wanted him to lose to Jacqueline and then go away for a while. And he thought that killed his credibility to – and I understand, like, he's a Disco Inferno and he's not really – you know, but in order for him to, you know, be, like, a big deal going to, like, you know, the WWF or something, he didn't want to go out losing to a girl. So he left, and I actually watched the Disco Inferno shoot this week, actually, so that's kind of funny. He left. WWF kept asking him when he's available. They actually put an article on WWF Magazine saying Disco was coming. Like, people claimed that he was supposed to be the Honky Tonk Man's, you know,
Rockabilly.
What Rockabilly eventually got. But, you know, that didn't happen.
And in the end, he ended up coming back and doing the job.
Yes, but he got a contract out of it, so...
Yeah.
Who's an idiot now, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, Conan and Hugh Morris.
This Omni show is Ted Turner was supposed to be on this show.
But he
was
not.
Did you know that? And he was not. So he was supposed to be the one that came out and, well, they did a deal where Bischoff came out and Ted Turner was going to come out and suspend him, you know, just to. Because he's using his position to, like, screw everybody. And I guess Ted Turner didn't want to be a part of a wrestling show or something. Maybe somebody talked him out of it or whatever. So they sent Dr. Harvey Schiller, who was, like, the head of Turner Sports or something like that. And so he came out and suspended Bischoff. And I think this was the first appearance in how many years? It's 1989, so maybe about 6 years or 7 years or 8 years. J.J. Dillon was in one of the limos, and he ended up becoming, you know, like the figurehead commissioner when Bischoff was suspended.
Why this keeps happening. I'm sorry.
I keep having to check the switchboard because I don't know if it's you or me. You've got to see whose number is still up there.
Yes. Apparently mine disappeared. All right.
What I was saying is this was like the first appearance in like 8 years of J.J. Dillon returned as the figurehead commissioner of WCW to replace Bischoff.
And you will learn throughout the next few months that J.J. Dillon is the dumbest man in the history ever. Because J.J. Dillon had recently left the WWF. He was fired, removed. He had the job that Johnny Ace has now.
He quit.
Oh, he quit?
Yeah, he just, I believe the story was he couldn't handle Vince McMahon anymore. You know, it was just too much work. And he had special needs children at home. You know, like handicapped children that he needed to be with. And, you know, if you work for Vince and you're living up there, you know, it's like you got to be on like 24 hours a day and stuff like that. And I think he just got fed up with it and just quit. And tell you how hard Vince took it. Like that, you remember when they did the thing with Ric Flair when he retired a couple years ago? And that was the first time that Vince and J.J. Dillon had spoken since like 1996 when he left WWF.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that. I've always been meaning to get that J.J. Dillon book.
Yeah, he talked all about it. I haven't read the book, but apparently he talked all about it in there. And yeah, so that's the story there. But yeah, before Jim Ross, he was the head of talent relations.
Wow. I knew that. I knew that aspect of it. Okay. This Omni show, I think it is the show. Yes, it is. All right, this Omni show, the matches don't even matter, okay? The only thing that matters about the show is what you are about to read. Go ahead.
Ooh, go ahead and talk for a minute. Let me get my paper real quick.
All right, I'll just read the matches. Conan, Hugh Morris, beat Jarrett and Mongo because Jarrett accidentally hit Mongo. So Jarrett really was trying to be his partner. DDP beat Ric Fuller. Hoovy beat Raymond Doza Jr. Dean Malenko beat Mike Enos. Eddie Guerrero beat Ultimo Dragon with a crossbody to defend his U.S. title. Scotty Riggs is continuing his feud with Buff Bagwell. He's wrestling Michael Wall Street. Has a beat. Buff Bagwell comes out and attacks him with a strap. So they have a strap match coming up for Uncensored. Mr. JL loses to Rey Mysterio. And there's Lex Luger and the Giant fight Rick and Scott Steiner. And there's like a huge thing to end that. And we will explain why once Couturier gets his paper.
Okay.
I believe it's from the Observer, right?
Yeah, this is from the Observer in March of 1997.
Okay.
It says, it was billed Gwen as the Nitro you would never forget. And after the March 3rd show from Atlanta's Omni, WCW would just as soon hope to God that slogan isn't the case. Let's just go right into the segment. It says, in a 20-minute-long angle, which was Piper's idea, Roddy Piper was going to introduce his own team, and he was just going to have these guys nobody had ever seen before just come out and you know, and work and, you know, just like fight him and stuff like that and get the crowd approval and pick who's going to be on the team. So I just keep reading this. Says, to say the idea was a catastrophe would be putting it mildly. The shock was that the fans picked up on how bad it was with Piper, the man who could go out and do almost nothing in the ring, and his presence was such that fans thought they were seeing a classic match. And the man who could do the world's most embarrassing pretty boy music video, that's true, on a wrestling show and still get over as a tough guy. And the original plans for the Uncensored main event was a three-team deal with the NWO team, WCW team, and Sting's team. However, the Piper thing got over so huge at the Cow Palace that they were just going to hold the Sting thing off and they were going to bring Piper back for this match. Piper's idea that they decided to accept since he had full creative control of his own angles under contract was to do the show that he originally wasn't scheduled to be part of, provided he could pick his team as a shoot to give some of his friends work in wrestling. Piper wanted to pick John Tenta, who was his friend, who wanted to help get back into WCW as a shoot since WCW stopped using him, and also get work for his bodyguard/gopher and a friend of his from his straight-to-video action movies. The idea was a disaster from the start. The segment started with Piper saying that he would fight six guys at one time, and he wanted the fans to pick which four he kept. Although in typical Piper fashion, he didn't quite make that clear either. The first guy brought out was a huge bodybuilder from the power plant in Atlanta, who Piper wasted in a matter of seconds, and the fans voted thumbs down. The second guy was an even bigger bodybuilder from the power plant, who in his 40 seconds of fame showed real potential before getting wasted. Another thumbs down as planned. This is where the problem started. After two huge bodybuilders, they followed it up with a cross between Gabe Kaplan and a leprechaun wearing boxing gloves. This was the man joked behind the scenes in WCW as being Piper Brutai, obviously a reference to Brutus Beefcake. After some of the worst fake boxing sequences you'll ever see, with Piper trying to make his buddy look good, the fans booed it roundly, but they were supposed to cheer. Piper said he thought the fans were being too hard on him, and they went at it again. By this time, the guy was totally blown up, so he had to take off his gloves because he couldn't even lift his arms. The fans booed it worse, even though he was supposed to be cheered. Then Piper brought out a tall guy doing a martial arts gimmick who was an actor friend of his in real life. By this time, Piper was totally blown up, and the guy's acting skills and doing a live kickboxing fight scene made Glacier look like Peter Ehrich. Who the fuck that is?
Canada.
Dave with his references. I don't get some of them. By the time Tenta came out, Bill Bum announced Mike Tenay as a former sumo wrestler. The segment was gone, but it wound up with all three members of Piper's team fighting each other with about as much intensity as a little girl's pillow fight. Backstage, while this was going on, the thought process was largely that they were in danger of not only ruining their upcoming pay-per-view, making it a trifecta for the uncensored gimmick, but destroying Piper's future drawing power. There was talk of changing the planned finish of the show where all three teams would be in the ring brawling with each other. The show went off the air to have Piper's team destroyed and end the gimmick right there. But for whatever reason, probably because nobody could figure out how to exactly break the news to Piper, the original planned show ending took place. So there you go.
That is so bad, okay?
I remember watching this atrocity, and this was, God, it was so terrible. I mean, it's just, you guys don't even know who any of these people are, and then they just randomly throw John Tenta out there. That was so weird.
Yeah, because it was one of Piper's friends. So the thing is, all right, so this lasts a week.
Piper had
shittier
friends than Hogan.
Yes, he does. He does. At least Hogan's friends are wrestlers. Alright,
mm-hmm.
So this lasts a whole week. And it's because there's an NWO team and there's a WCW team. But also, for some reason, there is a Piper team. And the WCW team is it the Steiners, Luger, and the Giant?
Yeah.
Yeah, Steiner, Luger, and the Giant. Well, then Piper's out talking about his team, and Arn Anderson comes out. Arn Anderson, once again, great as can be, told him, look, wrestling is for, like, this type of match is for professionals, not amateurs. So you need a really good team. You need a horseman team.
You overmatch yourself.
Yes. So the original plan, actually, was two of the horsemen with Piper and John Tenta. But then eventually they got rid of John Tenta completely and ended up going with just three horsemen and Piper. And another thing I wanted to mention that we kind of forgot to, when Randy Savage beat up DDP, he was presented with Elizabeth. Like, that was his prize, and that's why he joined the NWO. Was so great.
And Elizabeth was
so
finally
great.
Happy after being so sad in the NWO for all those months.
Yes, she was finally happy. Because they needed a win with the NWO, because we all know about the NWO hotline. NWO hotline was available for approximately 1 month, and in that 1 month, it made about as much money as 1 day of the WCW headlines. So completely, completely bombed.
This was the first Club La Vila show.
Yes, it was.
In Panama City, Florida, with the ring in the swimming pool or around the swimming pool. And Kevin Sullivan fought Hardbody Harrison, who I'm sure.
I'll never forget this match. Never in my life will I forget this match.
Who I'm sure everybody remembers from the racial lawsuit and I guess this was one of those guys that the guy on the Observer Radio was talking about. He should have been a. I guess he had a bad gimmick or something because he was black and she had been the world's champion. I don't know, but
yes,
he was terrible. I'm sure that's a name most women probably fear these days when they after he chained a bunch of hookers.
That's a good wrestling name. Can you imagine that?
Well, I mean, coming down the aisle. I'd fear it, too, you know, if I was, like, chained to a radiator and forced to do sex acts.
Yeah, but...
Being kept prisoner in my own home, or in somebody's home. This was a dumbass that got a good hefty settlement from that racial thing, and then he... I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Not a smart man. All right, so, you got this Club La Vila, okay? They have Jeff Jarrett and Mongo finally get a win. They beat High Voltage, which isn't much of a win, but a win's a win. Prince Iaukea beats Dave Taylor. And it's a dumb finish. A dumb finish. It's almost like a banana peel type finish.
Yeah.
Taylor has her body slips and falls. And just that's it. That's the end of the match. Jim Powers, legendary jobber. Remains a legendary jobber and loses to Eddie Guerrero. DDP beats Craig Pitbull Pittman for the 4,000th time on Nitro with the Diamond Cutter. Rey Mysterio beats Galaxy. And then the show off the WCW team have Luger, the Giant, and the Steiners. And they wrestle the motley crew of tag teams. Greg Valentine, Roadblock, Jacques Rougeau, and his partner Pierre, when the Giants beat Roadblock. I loved when WCW would just throw together random big tag teams. And those were just, you know? I mean, can you imagine before the match, fucking Roadblock, Greg Valentine and the Quebecers having a conversation like, all right, what do you want to do out there? Yeah. All right. Off-Road Dragon beats Hoovy with a Tiger Suplex. I always thought these two guys went very well together.
Yeah.
I thought he had better matches with Ultimo. I thought Hoovy had better matches with Ultimo than he did with almost anybody. I always thought they clicked very, very well.
Yeah.
Scotty Riggs beat Jericho because it was a DQ, because Buff Bagwell comes out again and just whips the shit out of Scotty Riggs for this feud that absolutely no one cares about, with Buff Bagwell and Scotty Riggs. And then there's the most famous match of this night is Kevin Sullivan wrestles Hardbody Harrison. And Hardbody Harrison just fucking is getting killed. Killed by Kevin Sullivan. Declan is hitting him, body slamming him, and they just beat the shit out of him. And then just throw him into the water. Not like the water around, not the water around like in the pool. I'm talking about the actual water, like the ocean or whatever that was. So insane. It was awesome. And that's pretty much it going to Uncensored. So,
yep. Which you can get at Amazon for $64.13. And you're a dumbass if you buy that.
I think it's worth it. VHS, too. All right. Dean Malenko gets himself a title shot against Eddie Guerrero, wins the title, and it's because Six interferes again, which I have no idea why he interfered, considering, you know, he was clear. No one cared.
I believe Guerrero injured his shoulder pretty bad and was gone for like a few months after this. Like maybe
yes.
2-3 months after this, and it's when he came back as a heel.
Yes, that's right. That is right. They had a DDP DDP is out there with his wife, right?
No, he was out there by himself, and Savage is up in the stands and starts cutting a promo on him, and then brings out, then he has, like, the Playboy New Celebrity, and it's got Kimberly in it. this was like the first time they announced that they were married. And so then all of a sudden Kimberly comes out and she's got like NWO spray paint all over her dress and stuff like that, and DDP looks at her, and then Savage jumps him, does the whole spray paint thing again. So that continues that big feud right there.
And it's funny because Elizabeth playing the heel was talking about how the NWO loved Kimberly's photo spread. That's such a thing, they all jerked off to it. So that was good. That's how you get some heat. All right. Ultimate Dragon beat Psychosis. Glacier beat Mortis. All right. Glacier has been around for a little bit, okay? Well, he never had an arch rival. Well, finally his arch rival in the form of Canyon, Chris Canyon, rest in peace, like debuted as this character named Mortis, kind of a play on rigor mortis, you know? And he looked like he was dead, you know? He had like a skull face and his manager was James Vandenberg, who would eventually become the Sinister Minister. And he just beat Mortis in their match. Well, then the former Adam Bomb shows up, Brian Clark, and his name is Wrath. And they beat the shit out of Glacier. So it's Glacier's being double-teamed by Mortis and Wrath.
I like Mortis. I thought he was a good worker.
I liked him too. I really did.
I thought he and Wrath made a pretty decent team.
I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. Buff Bagwell,
didn't care much for Glacier though.
Who did? I liked him when he was Coach Ray Lloyd though, or whatever his name was. I thought that was an awesome gimmick. All right, Buff Bagwell beat Scotty Riggs in a strap match. Harlem Heat beat Public Enemy in a Texas Tornado match, which they were trying to do in this match, kind of like what the Nasties did before.
Yeah.
With all these crazy matches. Harlem Heat just aren't the Nasty Boys, you know?
Yeah.
They're just not. They, you know?
I just remember in this, and I wish I had thought about it because I may upload it for next week. There's a line in here where one of the Harlem Heat's just nailing one of the Public Enemy with a trash can. And Dusty Rhodes, he just says, boy, he wore his tired old ass out with that one, didn't he?
That's awesome. I love Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
All right. Puta Ikea beat Rey Mysterio. That was a rematch from the month before. They originally went for a time limit draw. They continued the match. And he just beat him clean.
Yep.
And it was, you know, it's pretty cool. All right, so Hulk Hogan and the NWO, Randy Savage and Hall Nash come out with Dennis Rodman. And Hogan doesn't get in the match until the very end.
Yeah, he's the last guy in the match, I think.
He's the last guy to get in the match. They beat Lex Luger, Giant, and Scott Steiner. Because Rick Steiner was injured, right?
Yeah, he was, like, laid out or something.
Yes, and Roddy Piper, Benoit, Mongo, and Jeff Jarrett. They were Team Piper. And it was like a three-team war games without a cage.
You could win by either, like, you know, pinfall submission or throwing a guy over the top rope. Which they didn't know when the Giant went over the top rope as the first guy, like, eliminated.
Yes, they did not
realize
that at all.
The rules.
No, the announcers didn't know the rules of the match that they're announcing them for. And Hogan ends up beating Luger because Randy Savage hits Luger in the face with a can of spray paint.
Yeah, Luger goes,
Macho Man.
Luger goes on the run, you know, he eliminates Nash, he eliminates Scott Hall, he eliminates Savage, and then he gets handed a spray can by Dennis Rodman. I just remember it took like, cause they had all the media there and photographing Hogan and Robin. It took him 10 minutes to get to the ring. I mean, it's just because they were all taking pictures and stuff, and it had a decent match. But the big thing at the end with Sting came down and finally took out the NWO with the baseball bat, and this fucking place went crazy.
They went nuts.
Because they've been waiting on it for so long.
So you finally know Sting isn't with the NWO because they teased that for a while. And
yeah.
The thing is, there was really only two teams that could have really won this match. You know, it was either Team Piper or Team NWO. Because the Team WCW thing, they right when they announced, like, the rules of being in this match, or the, like, you know, if they won, what they would get.
Yeah, it was Piper was going to get a cage match.
In the world.
A cage match with Hogan. That was
there's
what
not a
they
person
were going to get
in the world that thought WCW was going to win. If they
yeah.
won, the NWO would return all the belts and not be able to wrestle for 3 years. Come on. Can you imagine that? I mean, honestly,
yeah.
Picture it, like, the year 2000. If this happened, if they would have won, WCW might still be a company. Damn you, Dennis Rodman. All right. Yeah, so Sting comes down, lays all them out. So next week we're going to be discussing, you know, what's the pay-per-view we're building towards in
Spring Stampede with DDP and Randy Savage in the no disqualification match.
Yes, next week we will be building towards the Spring Stampede pay-per-view. We will be talking about probably the next two pay-per-views. We'll most likely go 2 hours next week.
Yeah.
Again. I just don't want Contreras' cold to get any worse. And, you know, hopefully we'll get to, you know.
We might get to Great American Bash next week, I think.
Yeah. I'm hoping we get to the Great American Bash next week. So thank you, everybody that listens. We appreciate you, obviously, listening into our show. And next week we will be back, normal time, and it'll be a good time. All right, so thank you, everybody.